No, no, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I figure we had a couple minutes. I wanted to catch up. All right. Thank you very much, everybody. I'm going to call to order the CVAG Energy Environmental Resources Committee for Thursday, April 8th, 2021. We are still on virtual mode due to the state emergency and the pandemic in the state of California. So obviously written and telephonic comments are always welcome until we can get back in person. And we'll just start with the roll call, please. I think Trish is on roll call. Yes. Where is she? There she is.
Thank you, Chair Evans. Mm-hmm. Blythe. Cathedral City. Cathedral City.
Nancy's there. Give her.
I have a mute on my own speaker and I had unmuted that. Sorry. I am here.
Thank you. Thank you. Coachella. Desert Hot Springs.
Russell Betts for Desert Hot Springs.
Indian Wells.
Present.
Indio.
Present.
La Quinta.
Present.
Palm Desert. Palm Springs.
Present.
Rancho Mirage.
Here.
Riverside District 4.
Here.
Coachella Valley Water District. Imperial Irrigation District.
Present. Good morning or good afternoon.
Mission Springs Water District.
Randy Duncan, alternate, sitting in for Nancy Wright.
Great. We have a quorum.
Great. Welcome back, Randy. Thank you very much. Okay. We'll move to public comments on agenda items. This is the opportunity to speak before the committee on any items on the agenda. We could also, I know we've got one public speaker for 6A, but we can call upon them at that time or listen to them now. Tricia, do we have Chuck Parker lined up and ready to go?
We do have Chuck Parker to make his comment.
Okay, Chuck, hi.
Hi, thank you for allowing me to speak to you today. I wanted to address item 6C, part two, the salt and sea restoration that you've got on there. I wanted to urge your committee to include support for ocean water import as part of the restoration of the Salton Sea. As you most of you know, in both 2019 and 2020, all nine cities of the Coachella Valley, as well as the Torres Martinez Tribe and the College of the Desert Board of Trustees, have passed resolutions supporting ocean water import. So I would recommend adding to the end of part two, the phrase after they say support of the North Lake being pursued by the Salton Sea Authority, add the words and the importation of ocean water from the Sea of Cortez as part of the restoration of the Salton Sea, end quote. So because I believe and a lot of folks believe that without the importation of large quantities of water, the Salton Sea will continue to decline along with the environment of a large area in both Imperial and Riverside counties. And I don't believe that the importation of water in any way would be harmful or detrimental to the North Lake project or any of the 10-year plan projects. And it would go a long ways towards controlling the dust and so on. So that's all I wanted to add to that. And I appreciate you're allowing me to speak today. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chuck. And thanks for keeping us all informed of the meetings that you and your group are holding as well. And hopefully you'll listen in the rest of the time. So as we get to the goals, there'll be further discussion on that. And I see, Tricia, that Joey from City of Blythe has joined us. So welcome. And we'll move on to our committee member and director comments. Katie, anything for you to start? I see a nodding of the no, even though she's muted. That's okay. Any member comments? Oscar, did you want to provide an update?
Yeah, we did have a meeting with the SCAGS Energy and Environment Committee. They're currently building up the framework for the Connect SoCal 2024 plan, which will be adopted in 2024 and addresses the long-term vision and the investment framework. And it also takes into account reassessments due to the pandemic and recent resolutions addressing equity, climate resilience, and the digital divide in our communities. We also discussed the current accelerated electrification strategy, and the goals for this are decarbonization of light and heavy duty transportation. And SCAG will support the region with implementation and support alternative fuels and electric vehicle market growth and infrastructure planning. Current projects include an electric vehicle charging station study. They're measuring the reduction in miles traveled due to shared mobility services. Their medium and heavy duty zero emissions roadmap is another one, and a regional rail electrification analysis. A note on pricing that I saw during the presentations was that for large shipping trucks, electric trucks currently cost $100,000 more than diesel trucks, and hydrogen trucks currently cost $350,000 more than diesel trucks. But those costs are slowly going down and new trucks are emerging on the market. And for some instances, I think it is going to be financially feasible for certain companies, depending on how they use those trucks. And so we're keeping an eye on that and seeing where that market goes. And that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Without any other comments by the group, we'll move on to our consent calendar item, item number 5, which is the January 14th, 2021 committee meeting minutes. Any questions, comments, or revisions? Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Charles Townsend from Rancho Mirage makes the motion.
I'm going to have to abstain. I wasn't at the meeting.
Okay. I saw Donna Griffith, Indian Wells, do a second, by the way. Randy Duncan with Mission Springs will abstain. All right. So all those in favor that can say yes, aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. So it looks like everybody except for Randy Duncan and the motion will pass. Thank you so much. Item number 6, discussion action. First is the update on SB 1383 and waste disposal reduction goals. I know Ben's here for that presentation. Where's Ben?
Actually, Madam Chair, Benjamin is enjoying some time off with his family this week. Okay. So I will just do a quick introduction. We are pleased to have a presentation this afternoon from Debbie Espinosa of the Fine Food Bank. I wanted to mention before Debbie gets started that we've been working with what is now referred to as our recycling roundtable. This is the group that was formerly a full standing subcommittee, working group, the Solid Waste and Recycling Working Group, which is composed of all of your staff members who handle solid waste and recycling. And the topic of this legislation has been one of great interest. And there is an effort underway to try to work towards a outreach program that would help to better educate folks about the opportunities for recycling organic waste. So, with that, I'd like to introduce Debbie, and she's got a great presentation to tell us about some creative approaches that FIND is looking at for this program.
Thank you so much. I just want to do a sound check very quickly. Katie, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you fine. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me present today before the committee. SB 1383 has been talked about statewide by many cities, counties. I know that this group has been working on it for a little over a year now, with 2020 having some points of having to push the process out a tiny bit because of that little thing called COVID. But now we're weaving back in again as we're going into 2021, and as we're looking at the goals that need to be hit by the state of California that are getting pushed down through county and then local jurisdictions in order to be able to meet requirements to help the businesses within each one of the jurisdictions be able to meet the goals. Food banks have been throughout the state of California helping CalRecycle and the state of California write some of the not necessarily the requirements, but the avenues in which we have the ability to help support all of the food waste production in order to make sure that we can transition it to the people that are in need. One of the goals and requirements of SB 1383 is to ensure that edible food is going out to communities in need, with a reduction of 20% of that by 2024 going into landfill. And so because of that requirement, food banks have been hand in hand with CalRecycle to help them create materials, resources, and other things to be able to move through the state of California to local jurisdictions to show how we can partner together in order for the jurisdictions to be able to meet these goals and requirements of providing support. That being said, for me, I am the president and CEO of Fine Food Bank, but I have a long history with regards to food banking as well as food safety and how all of this is starting to weave into SB 1383 because of the compliance requirements that also have to be met on the implementation of SB 1383. I think sometimes people were thinking that this should be easy, food waste reduction. Don't we just need to move the food from point A to point B? But there's a lot of things that go in between that. 1383 merges the food safety codes and regulations that have been recently passed as recent as the early part of 2019 with how charitable food distribution organizations move food safely from point A over to the client and end users. Again, food banks, the regional food banks that are the USDA contractors as tied to the California Association of Food Banks have been helping to write those laws too as well because we've been doing this for many, many years. So, I've been very engaged at the state level with regards to food safety as it applies to regulations and compliance in the state of California. And 1383 is something that I'm very interested in simply because, one, we want to rescue as much food as possible. Fine Food Bank is the regional food bank. We're the largest food rescuer organization already in the Coachella Valley Desert region, along with our sister food banks throughout the state of California. What I have here for you is just kind of the brief synopsis of how a regional food bank works and what we've been doing already. If you can see, we have multiple streams of food that are coming in on the grocery side, the packaged non-prepared food and produce. All of the food streams, the manufacturers, distribution centers, retail food rescue, which actually is included in SB 1383. We've already been doing it for over a decade now, rescuing food from the grocery stores in a large short of way in this area, agriculture, individual food drives, and USDA commodity products. All of those total together go into our India regional warehouse, and then from there we disperse it out to over 150 sites, including directly to clients now through homebound deliveries. About 22 million meals annually is what we cleared in 2020. For the prepared food side, it's the newest venue that many food banks in the state of California are starting to work through, not because we're required to by SB 1383. SB 1383 doesn't require charitable organizations to engage in this work, but for us, it's the right thing to do. The only requirements are it's the government entities, the local jurisdictions, and the county that are required to provide the support systems in order to help their communities be able to deliver on SB 1383, and more specifically, the people that are producing the food or providing the food at the commercial level, restaurants, hotels, hospitals, grocery stores. Those are the ones that are going to have to meet the requirements, and the charitable food distribution networks like a regional food bank are there to support it. But the requirement lands on the jurisdictions and the local businesses. But we have model setups already. We're the Feeding America Food Bank. There's been technology that's already been developed, AI, if you will, on digital platforms that people have been using around the country. I've been doing a lot of research on it in preparation for SB 1383 to be launched in order to make sure that we're really looking at an efficient and coordinated system amongst all of our area. We're kind of at this great place right now in our community where we have the ability to combine together because there hasn't been a lot of work that's been done yet on the prepared food side. And we have this time to be able to join together as county, cities, and regional food banks, like many other places in the U.S. have done together in order to make sure that we're rescuing food appropriately. And the technology has been developed already proprietary to Feeding America. So when I was talking to the group about it, I said, hey, you know what? Maybe this is the time to start looking at joining together. I would really love to be able to have the Coachella Valley Desert region be a leader in making sure that as we deliver on SB 1383, we have the ability to show how you can have local businesses, government, and a regional food bank create a best practice for the United States. I think that we are... our area is primed for that because of the nature and the way in which we all work together as cities and businesses and nonprofits. I think we have the systems in place as tested in 2020 during the deployment of food throughout the community to be able to handle the pandemic and how we all work together. And so it's just a continuation of all of that moving forward as we deliver on SB 1383. It's very compliant heavy, just so all of you know. California Association of Food Banks, by which I serve on the board for, we've been watching this as regulations have been written so that food banks have the ability to integrate and regional food banks have the ability to integrate in very easily, because a lot of the compliance regulatory requirements are the regulatory requirements that we're following already on other government programs that we run, like USDA. So implementation could be seamless. But that's what I wanted to present to all of you today, to be able to allow you to ask questions to me with regards to SB 1383, tell you how a regional food bank runs so you can see the schematics of it, what we're already preparing to do with regards to how we can evolve this platform together. For us, it would be making sure that we were cost effective and efficient with regards to funding the work that we would be doing, to be able to handle, I think, the management of the food rescue side of it, but the sustainability is my biggest concern, ensuring that we have the ability to pay for the work that's being done. And that's where I think all of us can come together in order to make sure that we can meet that requirement. 2024 is when tier two implementation is required by the state in order for the county to be able to report back up to it, with local jurisdictions having plans in place. January 2022 is for tier one, which is the grocery stores and the larger chains. We already have that. We're already picking up 52 of the local grocery stores. So for the Coachella Valley, a lot of it could be met, but there's still some nuances on compliance that we would have to work together with, that we'd be looking for support from the cities and the county government to be able to hit and meet that requirement. So tier one is almost done, which is great. We've been doing that for 10 years. But it's a matter of making sure that we can all work together to show how compliance is being met and work together as a team to report out to the state. So with that, that's a lot of information. 1383 is many years in the making. I only have 15 minutes. I'm gonna leave it for questions now for you guys to ask.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much, Debbie. Supervisor Perez, we're going to start with him.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Debbie, excellent. You've always done a great job ever since I met you, and obviously continue the good efforts of Fine Food Bank. Really appreciate what you're doing and stepping up, even in this effort now, even though you don't need to, as a nonprofit organization, and working with other nonprofits throughout the state of California to make this happen. My question is twofold. Who at the county are you working with this task force? And my other question is, I know that it's not a mandate for nonprofits to be engaged. However, is there any funding through this legislation? And if not, maybe we need to inquire and add some language to help support organizations like yours throughout the state of California.
Yeah.
So I just want to raise that to you, and thank you for everything you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate the kind words. Thank you so much for that, Supervisor Perez. There is funding streams for this. There's going to be another Cal Recycle grant that opens up, I believe, in about 12 months. They like unified work together between government and nonprofit organizations to be able to go for it. It would be funding for administrative costs as well as operational costs in order to make this happen. For us, because it's a mobile platform, it's a combination of volunteers, because we always look at cost effectiveness, but there's still the administrative side, as well as the marketing side in order to get people involved. But it would need to be a joint effort between, I think, Fine Food Bank, county and city governments. We would need to launch something in order to be able to have a better foothold in receiving a grant to continue it on. I think it's always better to show investments in from all parties that they're already committed to doing it prior to trying to get the larger grant. So we would need to talk about that. With regards to county, who we've been talking to at county, right now the groups that I've been talking to is the subset group off of this committee of CBAG. And I don't know if there's county representation on that. Trish or Katie, I'm not sure if there's county representation or if it's just local cities that's represented on the committee that I talked to you prior to coming into this meeting. And then this committee is who I'm presenting for now in order to be able to do the first concept work with it to see if it's something that this group would be interested in pursuing together.
Thank you.
Is there a specific name, Katie?
Yes, for the county, Kathleen Utter and Olivia Sanchez are represented on our recycling roundtable. And I know Kathleen is listening in as an attendee this afternoon, but they've been participants all along and part of that conversation from the
waste. Well, thank you, Madam Chair and staff. I want to follow up on that funding stream. I want to make sure we make that happen.
Yeah. And then I'm working with Burtech. So I'll be talking with Burtech next week as part of this too as well. So they have some ideas and thoughts. But I think if we have a combination of a regional food bank that's already a USDA contractor and has worked with CalRecycle on another CalRecycle grant with regards to food waste prevention, we understand and know the system. It's a Feeding America food bank, so there's definitely trust within the community on the AI and mobile platforms that have been tested already throughout the US. If we have county and city government going into it already prior to the application, because investments have been made on this joint and unified effort to launch the program in 2021, that will give us, again, just a lot stronger of a basis to go forward in about 12 to 18 months whenever they release the next round of grants.
Thank you, Debbie.
Great, thank you. Just note for the record, Madam Clerk, that Neftali Galarza from Coachella has joined and Supervisor Hewitt from 5th District is joined as well. Other questions for Debbie regarding this? And when we get to the goals and objectives, SB 1383 is included. We just maybe want to look at that wording if there's anything more specific we want to add, but it already has been as part of our review process. I'm going to ask a little bit of a separate question by a show of hands. Is there anybody in this committee who has not visited the Fine Food Bank warehouse in Indio? Show of hands. All right. So we can put that down as an action item, Debbie, and invite that team out. If you have, you will have no idea how impressive the operation is and the work that's being done. And just a shameless plug, the annual Fine Food Bank Step Up to the Plate Telethon is happening tomorrow night from 7 to 8 on Channel 2, KESQ and Channel 2. And we'll be able to help promote some fundraising activities. There's some exciting announcements that Debbie will have in store. And I'll tell you, we were really worried. I served on Fine Food Bank for about 6 years, have been off now for a number of years, but we were concerned last year. I always volunteer and I'm a regular giver about the response because the pandemic had just hit and it was overwhelming and we beat the prior year's record. So it there's still obviously a willingness to recognize that you need food to be healthy and thrive. And this is a tremendous piece of our community. And the fact that when I looked at Debbie Espinosa is going to be presenting on this, I'm thinking, waste disposal reduction goals. Yes, you've got your fingers everywhere, my friend. It's impressive the work that's being done and how the team has stepped up to the plate literally during this pandemic. So I encourage those with the hands up to make an appointment with Debbie to either do a group trip or go out there and visit Find. I know you'll learn a lot about it tomorrow if you happen to watch the broadcast. Katie, did you want to add something?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I did want to appreciate Debbie's presentation and as has been noted, the creative efforts to really make something happen with this legislation. I do want to also note that CVAG has a history of grants from CalRecycle. Our used oil recycling and tire recycling programs have been funded for many years. And so I think we're very interested in working together. And I will note, since many of you are not aware, there's a good number of city of your staff that are listening in to today's presentation. So that's great. But our recycling roundtable, like I said, is very excited about this opportunity. And that's something that will be continuing. And one of the things that's been talked about is a cooperative effort to potentially fund a outreach program that maybe that could tie into the CalRecycling funding. So that's something we'll be keeping you posted on.
Great.
Thank you.
Yes, Councilman Nancy, go ahead.
Hi, it's Nancy Russ from Cathedral City. Debbie and I, we met, I guess, about a year ago, and I'm going to throw out the same question I did to her way back then. I am amazed and just so tickled by all the work Fine does, but on a much, much smaller subscale, there's a lot of waste in catering and hotels and restaurants, as was discussed in the very beginning of the presentation. And unfortunately, those items aren't packaged in a way that Fine Food Bank can generally use them with all the ingredients and any allergens and packaged just the correct way. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that, I know our city is, but I want to make sure that as we move forward, that we have the ability to talk about alternative ways of recouping this food for local pantries, people who have trucks, and appropriate ways of meeting their health department can still utilize what can be, you know, hundreds of thrown away meals at the end of an event and things like that, because those are valuable recaps as well.
That's what SB 1383 is all about. Katie, can you pop back up the schematic that I sent in, because it speaks specifically, Nancy, to what it is that you're talking about. Do you see how under the red box, there's that yellow square area where it looks like mobile technology? That's the AI, right? It actually takes the place of a lot of the compliance requirements for reporting because everything's digital. You can see that from the prepared foods venues, the restaurants, hotels, cafeterias, that food waste that you were talking about, SB 1383 by 2024. That's where we're going to have to hit the tier two and making sure that we're diverting edible food to the mold, to the community food pantries and the clients. It won't even come through our warehouse. What Fine Food Bank does is we take this AI and this digital platform and we start linking people and volunteers and coordinating the whole program so that prepared foods can go straight from the place to the community food pantries and the clients utilizing the technology that's already been developed and tested for a few years now.
That's wonderful. That's absolutely perfect. And that's exactly what we talked about a year ago. I was just concerned because when we had last spoken, there were more stringent restrictions on how you accepted food.
Absolutely. And so this is what 1383 is all about. I still have to do the major considerations of food safety and risk mitigation of perishable foods.
Of course.
There's a whole program that has to be developed around this to meet California model food requirements and charitable food distribution, so literally no one gets hurt. But that is what we are the experts in with regards to moving food. This is what I'm talking about with regards to the funding considerations and the sustainability of the program. It's not the regional warehouse stuff, although that's tied into it with the Retail Food Rescue. We've got that going already. The launch of this would be on that mobile digital platform to be able to be as highly efficient and coordinated as possible without the duplication of efforts, not just for a cathedral city, Nancy, that you and I were talking about, but region-wide, and incorporating in the hospitals and incorporating cafeterias, restaurants, hotels, which are going to be required by SB 1383 by 2024. We're here to help. It's the jurisdictions that have to be able to implement this in conjunction with their businesses. But we've got the system down. That's why we're entering into this space.
I'm very excited to be on board with you. Thank you so much for all you do.
You bet.
Other questions or comments? Debbie, again, wealth of information. Thank you so much for being willing to lead this charge and sharing that. Much has been done, and it's a matter of packaging it to meet the regulatory requirements. And I know our city staff has been working with Vertec on that side. So the fact that you'll be collaborating with them is also a critical piece. And that's how we get things done, right? Working together.
Absolutely. Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate it.
All right. I'll see you tomorrow night.
All right.
Okay. Let's move on to 6B, which is our Better Battery Recycling and Fire Risk Reduction Act of 2021. Katie.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. This is an item which is actually a request for a letter of support for Senate Bill 289, the Better Battery Recycling and Fire Risk Reduction Act. I'd like to just acknowledge that this was brought to us by Mayor Pro Tem Harnick of the City of Palm Desert with the request that it be considered by the Energy and Environment Committee. And for CVAG practice would be for this committee, if you chose to make a recommendation to the Executive Committee for a letter to be sent. So just briefly, I'll summarize the staff report information. This is an effort to reduce the challenges with batteries not being recycled, ending up in the landfill, or in some cases, creating a fire risk. Basically what this legislation would do is to create a recycling and collection program that more efficiently would bring together the collection of batteries and reducing the unfortunate volume of batteries that are still going into landfills and other and not being, you know, recycled. So it requires the establishment of a collection bins at locations that would be convenient to consumers. I don't know if any of you try to recycle batteries, and of course the county and others provide opportunities for hazardous waste recycling, but this would be a more convenient way for batteries to be recycled, and that is would be put into place by June 2025. The idea is that this would help to, there's a lot of different batteries, lithium ion, et cetera, that maybe would be confusing and need to be treated differently, and all of the batteries would be accepted in the same location. And it really looks towards a partnership with the producers of those batteries to come together and come up with a solution that would help to establish this program to implement battery recycling. So your staff report describes some of the challenges and the fact that as much as 75 to 90% of lithium ion batteries are not currently disposed of properly. And those do create fire hazards in landfills and recycling facilities, material recycling facilities, which have been a concern. And of course, for the convenience that we all enjoy of having batteries, and we use batteries in everything, and they're constantly having to be replaced. Obviously, you can just imagine, I can think in my own home, the little jar in the garage that I have where I put my batteries to be recycled, they're just constantly being filled. So since the legislation was introduced, there has been a provision added which would create an advisory committee, which would be made up of retailers, recyclers, solid waste industry, consumer advocates, public health agencies, and others to work together in partnership with the producers of batteries to come up with a plan. And I can just mention briefly the legislation is currently supported by the League of California Cities, the Solid Waste Association of North America, the California Product Stewardship Council, which I believe is the sponsor, Rethink Waste, and Californians Against Waste. So essentially, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have. The staff recommendation is that the committee endorse a letter being a recommendation being forwarded to the executive committee that CVAG provide a letter of support for this battery recycling effort.
Thank you, Katie. I see Randy Duncan with his hand up. Go ahead and unmute yourself, Randy, go for it.
There we go. Okay, I'm not opposing that or not arguing with what you're saying at all, but how do batteries wind up in the landfill when, I mean, nothing goes from your trash can out in front of your house to a landfill. Everything goes to a recycling center or a distribution center or a sorting where everything is torn open and sorted by hand. So how do these batteries wind up in a landfill? Why aren't they pulled out in those sorting facilities?
Yes, it's a great question. I think that they do go through, as you point out, the recovery, the MRFs, the material recycling facilities. So actually that's where some of the problems have come in with fires and other hazardous situations with those batteries becoming. But the challenge is that a lot of them are not necessarily even going into your trash can. They may be disposed of in other ways or tossed away. So I think we're really looking at trying to come up with a comprehensive solution that would ensure that the fire hazards and the risk of having those batteries is resolved in a more comprehensive way.
Okay, thank you.
And when you look at locations of containers that would be these collectors, is there a, have I'm sure we haven't even gone to the point of those being identified or are they, yeah, I'm thinking, what if this container has all these batteries in it? And is that already a safety or a fire hazard based on, you know, pickup times or what have you? Or is it really controlled by like a BRTEC or a waste management entity?
Yes, well, I think the intent of this legislation is to have a plan that would be developed for where, what is the best place and how you would deal with those kinds of issues. One that would go into effect by 2025, and the recyclers and retailers would be brought in through a collective process to come up with answers to those questions. I think it's an important point to make sure there's not another safety hazard being created.
Or too much to have to add cost to manage that process. yes. Right? Versus supporting the concept of reducing
right.
that.
Right.
Other questions, or I'd like to entertain a motion that we can proceed as a committee to condone this letter of support to move forward for the executive committee chair to execute on our behalf.
Well, motion to approve. Coachella.
Second.
Okay,
second, Madam Chair.
Supervisor, fourth district, and who was our second?
Neftali. Yeah.
Neftali from City of Coachella. Okay, Supervisor Perez first, fourth district, and Neftali Coachella second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, any opposed? Seeing none, abstained, we'll say the motion passes unanimously. Wonderful. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now the exciting part of today's meeting, in addition to Debbie's presentation, is the input on goals and objectives for fiscal year 21-22. And it looks like Katie and Tori will be part of this discussion.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. We did discuss the goals and objectives at our meeting in January as a kind of a mid-year check-in. And at this stage, we're getting ready to put forward the budget for CVAG and would like to get your input. These are just goals and objectives that really kind of guide the various activities and in particular, identify things that you'd like to emphasize in the coming fiscal year. So I don't know whether it's helpful. I can just kind of briefly run through or if maybe it would be helpful to just have committee members call out particular things, but I'll briefly run through and give you an update. So with water conservation and water quality, this has been an ongoing effort. We don't have at this time any particularly active programs with water conservation, but we do want to continue to keep you informed of what's going on. And we do have, unfortunately, a bit of a drought year this year. And, you know, we're kind of hopeful that we can continue our conservation efforts. So that one is to really just kind of keep you informed. On the Salton Sea restoration, I would like to get feedback from the members on the goals as stated. And obviously there was a public comment. So maybe we could just talk about that particular issue.
See if there's sure. Yes, let's see. Randy, let's go first with Randy from the Water District Commission.
Let me unmute.
There we go.
Okay. That's a whole lot of requests that the public speaker asked this morning. We have, you know, federal, state, county organizations looking into all the options for the Salton Sea. IID, CVWD are working together on that. We have the Salton Sea Authority Board. Nobody has come up with a definite plan yet, a definite solution to the problem. So supporting saltwater importation from either sea, some want to come over the mountain, some want to come north from the Gulf of Mexico. I don't oppose it. I don't support it. I'm just saying I don't think it's our place at this time without a whole lot of research to endorse something like that.
Well, question on that, Katie, and if I could recall the woman's name that did the presentation a meeting or two ago, we specifically asked about this in the 10-year plan, and it was in the later half that it did include some ocean water importation considerations. Is that correct?
Well, my understanding is that there is currently an effort to identify and take a look at some of the different alternatives that are being considered. I know for the Salton Sea management effort there, I think fairly recently there was a UC Santa Cruz is going to be taking a look at a lot of the different options, and perhaps Supervisor Perez could chime in to maybe clarify that for the committee.
Please, go ahead.
Oh, well, thank you, Madam Chair and members. And there's a lot of great points made here as far as what you're recommending on all our goals specific to water conservation, Salton Sea, air quality, so on and so forth. Randy, thank you for your point. It's a point well taken. And our president for the Salton Sea Authority is also on, Mr. Cardenas.
But let me
just take a step back here with the Salton Sea restoration I presented. I'll talk about other points that are on here as well. Obviously, there's been ongoing efforts for years. I would say that maybe within the last 10 or 15 years, we've seen some major advancements with the Salton Sea Management Plan, which is a 10-year plan that also includes some funding. Now we're going to get another $20 million for the North Lake Pilot Project, another $10 million for the New River, and even more funding for the New River, other projects at the south end of the sea. There's a lot going on that front. The issue of water importation is an ongoing issue. It's not necessarily included in the Salton Sea Management Plan, AB 71, the 10-year plan. But it doesn't mean that we cannot support the concept, because you're absolutely right, Katie. The Department of Water Resources is now looking at working with Santa Cruz, UC Santa Cruz, to conduct that feasibility analysis, that study, to figure out what would it actually take to import water and what would it actually cost. And so if anything, maybe we could support that language. And I don't know what that language would sound like or how we would put that together, but let's just maybe look into that further, because I'm not necessarily in disagreement with the idea that we want to import water. We know we're going to need water at the end of the day, and we also need to improve the water quality of the Salton Sea. So maybe we could take a further look as to what that study is going to look into, and then maybe we could support that effort, because the state is actually moving in that direction regardless. And so I think that could maybe kill two birds with one stone with the questions that we have on that. And then at the same time, working with our allies on the ground that really believe that the water importation is very important. So I just want to put that out there. As far as your number one point, water conservation and water quality, I think that's an excellent point that you're making there. I would just add that maybe we need to add working with CDWD as far as the North End is concerned. And thinking about infrastructure, we need pipe underground in order for folks in the East End of the Valley to receive clean drinking water. And we need housing. And without infrastructure, we're not gonna have any housing. And we need to move people out of dilapidated mobile homes and put them into places in which their quality of lives are improved. So I just wanna maybe add some sort of point there in which, when it comes to water conservation, water quality, that we also look at how we can improve the quality of life for folks when we're talking about the need for infrastructure so that people can have clean drinking water. On the energy efficiency and conservation side, I know that we have Neftali, who's also representing City of Coachella, but we also have the Eagle Mountain pump storage project, in which many of you have heard about, many of you have signed on to, and maybe that'd be something for us to consider on that front, as well as the issue of the lithium projects that are going on in the south end of the Salton Sea with Assembly Member Valder Garcia's legislation. So I think we should take another look at that and see how potentially we could plug that in. I appreciate the points that you make on air quality, especially the fact that you're adding South Coast Air Quality Management District in a lot of these areas. We need to collaborate with them big time, and we need to include the AB 617 communities in these discussions, because it's those communities that are actually putting goals on the radar, like dust suppression efforts when it comes to the paving of roads, when it comes to the Salton Sea itself, when it comes to the issues of illegal dumping and burning on tribal land. That's also another goal for them. And so let's look into maybe how we could include the AB 617 communities that are part of the AQMD efforts. And so just from the get-go, just looking at this, those are some of my points. Overall, I would like to say we all should be tracking policy for all these fronts. Tracking policy and advocating on behalf of those efforts that are going to be supportive of what we need. And not necessarily going against policy, but more so just making sure that we're on it and that we're supporting when we need to. And then including language when we know that potentially we're not being represented or we need funding streams, resources, things of that nature. So those are some of my points.
Thank you, Supervisor. And I can see that, Katie, in terms of the policy and overall advocacy component is a generalized opener statement that with each of these, that part of the responsibility or effort by this group will be to monitor and respond accordingly if there's concerns with policy that's being proposed or legislation that is contrary to what our efforts are for all the conservation that's listed here. Going back to the water piece on the Salton Sea and understanding the different perspectives, and I don't know, Alex, if you want to talk on this, I recognize that there's clearly varied options. I wouldn't be opposed to maybe considering a fourth item that specifically talks about the importation of large quantities of water that may include the ocean water and other options, just because it's clearly relevant that without importation of water, we're in trouble on any of doing any of these other components that are in item number three. And then to your point, Supervisor Perez, on the air quality management district, South Coast Air Quality Management, and maybe we'll get to this with some other folks with input. Do we need to add something regarding our ozone issue that has blown our way that we need to address in addition to PM10? And Katie, I'm not sure what that verbiage is or if that's almost a waiting game versus what can we do about it? Because I know there's just a couple areas and pockets of concern, but that was a downstream effect of our geography, that it became a negative for the Coachella Valley with a, you know, potentially proposed increase in its tax that, of course, would adamantly oppose, since they need to fix it in LA and Orange County, et cetera. But I don't know if the ozone piece needs to be incorporated. Input from others. Alex, do you want to speak to?
Yeah, Madam Chair, thank you again. I believe Supervisor Perez hit the nail on the head, and there's been quite a bit of discussion regarding this. And, you know, from a Salton Sea perspective, our North Star is the strategic plan, which the backbone infrastructure is Perimeter Lake. We're still having those conversations regarding, you know, sea importation but, you know, we're really taking a position in terms of the feasibility of it. And I know California Natural Resources are having those discussions and conversations. And but, you know, we do have our strategic plan, and the strategic plan does have the Perimeter Lake as the backbone infrastructure to the sea, to a smaller sustainable sea. But those discussions are still available regarding sea importation. But we really have to look at the feasibility of it, the environmental impacts of it. And then I see our discussions as being living, breathing documents, and it's something that we can circle back and amend down the road once feasibility is there. I've always appreciated to be part of this committee here, and those are the conversations that we can definitely have down the road. So the other option and invitation I may want to extend to the committee is bringing in our executive director or our general manager or executive director to maybe provide a forum to answer some of those questions regarding sea importation and the position the SSA is maybe considering. So with that, I'll maybe turn it back to Supervisor Perez, if I may, Madam Chair. But sure. Those are just my general comments, ma'am.
Okay, and we also have Russell Betts that wants to speak. So Supervisor, do you want to comment on Alex?
Then just very quickly, and I'll be quiet after this. I just sent Katie an email right now. Hopefully you got it, Katie. You send it off to everybody, which is an email on the Salton Sea Management Program update. And it is specific to the UC Santa Cruz feasibility assessment on water importation to the Salton Sea. And this is gonna happen. And so if anything, maybe what we can say is support this feasibility study and then obviously wait for the analysis and see where it goes from there. But I'm sending that out so that everyone can read it. And I think it would be helpful to our allies on the ground. And I think it keeps us in a safe place as making sure that we are aligned with the state of California.
Okay. And just obviously, and that's excellent. Thank you for forwarding that. But as Mr. Parker said, that there are 9 cities here that have consistently supported a resolution that does include that. So I'm always open to being educated on more. So the feasibility study and additional information is always very helpful. I think the goal is we're all moving in the same direction. Russell. Councilmember Betts.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to start with the water conservation. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, so, and maybe Commissioner Duncan can help me out with these numbers, but the last time we were in a drought, we were approached to reach certain conservation numbers. And those numbers became across the board. Everybody take a reduction of, say, example, 10% or 15% from where you are as your existing baseline. And at that time, cities like Desert Hot Springs and some of the other cities that are were very big on conservation and maybe had a factor of 200, where other cities had a factor of 900 in determining water usage. And Randy, you can jump in here if you want to help me out with that number, our per capita water usage. But so we were already conserving, a prime example of a community that was doing all it could to conserve water. And some of that has to do with the socioeconomic condition of the city. And then we had to go gather another 15%. To just shorten this up, Desert Hot Springs, when people conserve, we drain our swimming pools. In the rest of the valley where they've got high water usage, maybe they back off on the water to a fountain. So if we're going to be heading into a drought like it looks like, I would like to have some serious consideration that any city that is already meeting, is already an example of conservation, isn't further penalized because these things end up raising the rates, that the baseline become a baseline be established in any city that's already below that doesn't have to, become even a better example. So I think we're headed into a drought. It looks like that's coming. This conversation we had in energy and environment years ago is mm-hmm. going to come back, and that was one of the conversations we had then. Regarding the Salton Sea, I'm aware of the Santa Cruz study, and it's a one-year feasibility study, but I don't think pipelines are anything that's new to anybody. We've been building pipelines for a long time, and it's feasible. And this project and this study in Santa Cruz is just another study in a long, long, long line of studies that has said, well, let's look at it and see if it's feasible. And I don't think there's anybody here in this room that doesn't think it's feasible to run a pipeline to bring that water in. That can be done. Now, we've had 9 cities who have signed on to, through resolutions, either going through with an engineering study, and that was a two-step process, but 2-3 years ago, we all 9 cities signed on, and including the Torres Martinez Tribe and College of the Desert, signed on to doing an engineering study. And as we know, through operating in the city, first thing to do with a shovel-ready project is you have to have that plan on the shelf. And so the approach was to talk to the Salton Sea Authority and say, hi, we want you to take some of the $250 million you got and spend some of that money to do this engineering study to get this done. Nothing happened for a year or two, and then we came back for a second round, and now 4 cities have signed on to, again, yes, we want to do that engineering study, dedicating $2 million, putting a specific dollar amount into $2 million to study that, not to study that, but to actually do the engineering. So we have shovel-ready project to import water to the sea. Now, I don't see any problem with I'm looking at the goals here, and we've enumerated one specific goal, which is the North Lake goal, which is good, but we've left out one that all 9 cities that are represented by this body have said they wanted to look at, and I don't think it would be out of order to say that without the importation of large quantities of water, the Salton Sea will continue to decline, and that's pretty obvious, it's already happening, and that the importation of ocean water from the Sea of Cortez should be part of the restoration efforts of the Salton Sea. And that we should be advocating the same engineering study that all 9 cities have advocated for. This is CBAG, we're all 9 cities and the other bodies. And so I don't know how this goals, if these are our goals, if these go on to the executive committee, but I don't see how studying this any further. This thing has been studied since the 50s when the Corps of Engineers said, hey guys, you got a problem that's coming. And, if you go talk to the people who are engineers who've looked at this 2-3 years ago, I've talked to them on the phone. They know how this can be done. They can get a rough idea. Now they just got to go in and map it out and say, okay, here you go. This is the design plan. So I won't belabor this anymore. But, last thing I'm saying this is, I don't know, it was how long ago I was serving on the energy and environment at CVAG with Paul Lewin. And he says, hey guys, pretty soon it's not going to be a matter of save the sea. It's going to be recover it. And we're already past that point. You're looking at 6 years to start doing anything, and the environmental degradation is just incredible that's going on down there right now. And 50 years of looking at something and saying we're going to study it further is nice. I mean, I'm happy to have Santa Cruz University go and study it further. Let them study all they want. But we need to, this body needs to act on what all nine cities have said and these other entities have said that they want to do on this project. So my goal, my view would be if that sea was brought back to its glory days of the 50s when there was boating and recreation and the docks weren't just sticking out in, you know, dry lake beds, but were actually had boats anchored to them and we could enjoy that as a big recreation area. That's a wonderful goal. And it's one that's feasible and one we need to push for. And I'm not the only one that thinks that. I think all nine cities have signed on to that. So I would really strongly encourage that in this, if we're going to finalize these goals today, that language supporting the importation of ocean water from the Sea of Cortez be a part of this this document, and in keeping with what these people on this that represent this body have said, the various cities. Thank you.
Thank you. And I will say this is input. I think the March 13th or the May 13th meeting will be our finalization, correct, Katie, that will do the approval on there. I want to get to it. We've got four hands raised.
And could I just, one more thing, could I just say, if we're going to bring this back to another meeting, could we have sample language that's already drafted and crafted so that, you know, that's one of the options that's in the staff report that says, hi, if Energy Environment agrees that that's already there and presented and ready to go?
Yes, Katie's Thank been you. Taking copious notes so that we could include all of that and it'll be available when the agenda goes out. So Donna, Indian Wells.
I can't agree more with Russell on his comments with regard to the Salton Sea, having lived here in the desert since 1962, having my mother lives here since 1932, and seeing all the, you know, pictures from her youth of, you know, the glory of the Salton Sea, which was an accident in the beginning, you know, but we ended up making it be something very special. I really want us to do whatever we can to support the restoration of the Salton Sea for a lot of reasons, but I mean, I just appreciate what Russell said. It very passionately said, and it was, and I agree. I echo that. My other concern really is our ground level ozone level. It's not our problem. We're not creating it. It's not something that we can do anything about. We have to work diligently to make sure that the other counties and areas are complying. And I am adamant that we work on that to make sure that other people are complying, because it's negatively affecting us and there's nothing we can do about it. So those are my two comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's go with Supervisor Hewitt and then Niftali, then Supervisor Perez.
Yeah, while we're waxing poetically here, you know, again, Russ hit it on the head right there. The sea was formed by an accident. It's not even supposed to be there. But the entire thing filled up in about a year with the flow of the Colorado River going in there and forming that huge sea. We also do need water, but if you think we're going to get it from the California coast, just go talk to the people in Carlsbad or talk to the people in Huntington Beach now that are trying to build a desal salt, you know, desalination water plant like they did down in Carlsbad. 20 years just to get the permits. And it's really, really difficult. Getting anything through the Coastal Commission is nearly impossible. With that said, the other source, the Sea of Cortez, you know, this is our opportunity to work with another country next to us that addresses several problems at once. You know, the New River has always been a horribly, horribly polluted river, and it just happens to flow uphill on a map into our fine little low area called the Salton Sea. So we have the opportunity. We've already got some money put into it for, I believe it's in Calexico, for a sewage treatment plant, but we've done it in the past in Mexicali and we didn't follow through and help maintain them and stuff. What I wanna see is get that to be the way that we import it from 243 miles above, you know, and to the south, And then we also make, you know, Mexicali is really a model city of the transformation of Mexico with a large middle class and the Malcaladeras and everything else like that. And this is a way for us to reach an agreement with them. If they give us water, which is, that's what we really need. That solves so many problems with the sea. It's really just a problem of getting some water in there. And it's fine if it's saline. They dug, remember this, in like 1830 something, they dug the Erie Canal, 243 miles, 40 feet wide and 4 foot deep, mostly by hand. We have machines right now that could do whatever we want from the Sea of Cortez and put it down there for very, very cheap. But again, it takes us so long to get a permit or a study and everything until there's the political will in Sacramento. This is always going to be a problem. We're going to have health problems in our county, in the Eastern Coachella Valley, for obvious reasons, for the same way the Owens Lake was. And also as far as conservation with this upcoming drought that we're going into now, 4.3% of our state's water is used for urban use. Conservation's nice, but punishing people, it's almost a drop in the bucket. We need to go ahead and start getting abundance again. We need more storage, but storage and conveyance are so, they're shut down by every environmental group there is. So until we start working with the environmental groups that want us to not only save, you know, the different species and fish and everything, and say, that's okay, we are a growing state, we need more water. And those homes that Supervisor Perez is talking about that we need, can't do those without, you know, will serve letters. So this is something, you know, if we as a body want to go ahead and sign on to, heck yes, let's do that and push that from coming from the Sea of Cortez. I think that's by far the best and the most realistic option. And again, gives us a chance to really, really work together with what should be our closest ally to the South. And I'm all for that in every way. But again, we could have the abundance. We're too afraid of it right now. We could get Berkshire Hathaway back there doing geothermal down on the southeastern edge. And go ahead and generating lithium. So we have a lot more really dangerous batteries that we can't, you know, put away with. They'll catch fire. No, but there's all these things are tied in completely. And I think we know what we need to do, but until we can lean on Sacramento and really force them to step up to the plate, I think then the federal government follows.
Thank you very much. Neftali, let's.
Hey everyone, I wanted to quickly touch base on a comment Supervisor Perez touched on, and that's on the energy side discussing looking into the summer and looking back at last summer, all these shortages that happened in California due to the lack of stored energy and the lack of just available energy at times where renewable energy is not available. And so touching base on the Eagle Mountain Pump Storage Project would be great portion that us and Coachella could talk about. Once Eagle Mountain, along with CVAG, we're trying to, you know, build a landfill out in that old iron mine pit. Today, there's an opportunity to build a hydropower plant it would be about 1,300 megawatts of energy. More than happy to coordinate conversations with NextEra Energy, Eagle Crest Energy, and the California Alliance for Renewable Energy Solutions to see, you know, bring them on percent and get more conversation going. But, you know, looking at any energy portfolio for the summer, California is more than 1,000 megawatts short for being able to fill the need of the need energy. So we're going to see blackouts again unless things happen, and this is going to happen every summer until we get our stuff together and invest in stored energy. Batteries that exist today, unfortunately, don't hold enough of the solar energy, and we actually not use all the solar energy that we can today, especially in our desert, all these solar panel fields that we do have and exist. We turn them off at a certain time of the day because we can't, the current batteries aren't able to hold them. And so we're wasting a lot of solar energy that could be held at a stored facility like Eagle Mountain that's in the Coachella Valley, would bring a lot of tax and employment benefits to our region. And would assist us at times that needed now best, like today during the COVID, that there needs to be investment for large scale projects in our region that could be a win-win on the energy and the employment side of it. So wanted to plug that in and go further from a comment that Supervisor Perez had mentioned.
Madam Chair, might I be heard when it's appropriate?
Thank you very much. Yes, yes. Let's get to Supervisor Perez and then I'll call upon you.
Madam Chair, thank you. I'll defer to the President of the Salton Sea Authority, Mr. Cardenas.
Okay.
Madam Chair, and again, I want to provide this comment under the covenant of peace because I am coming in peace, but I am I just want to be able to just give you full color. Guys, I have 60,000 fecal colonies running through downtown Calexico in the New River. And if we're going to open up the Sea of Cortez, and if you research back the minute orders that have taken place, they've not been favorable to the United States when it comes to water transfers with Mexico. So I'm just asking that we do take that into consideration. The true champion of the New River has been Supervisor Perez as an assemblyman. And when we're talking about importation, there has to be a discussion regarding encasement. And until we have encasement or start having those real discussions, there's going to be some environmental impacts to that. In regards to wastewater treatment, there's absolutely no discussions taking place regarding wastewater treatment plants. I can't even get financing for the O&Ms on a trash rack in the New River. So, you know, until those conversations become real, I just want, again, and I come in peace to give you guys full color on the impact of bringing water from Mexico. Again, 60,000 fecal colonies run through the New River. There's very little discussion on encasement with the exception of about a mile and a half. I do not think you would want that New River running through your downtown city, but we are making progress. And Supervisor Perez has trailblazed that, and we have some capital projects on the horizon. But again, guys, there's absolutely no discussions in regards to a wastewater treatment plant on the US side for the New River. San Diego is actually getting their second plant. We can't even get a trash rack, but hopefully that's changing. We start with the encasement. I'm just going to, if I may just telegraph, Madam Chair, I'm probably going to abstain from the decision on this because the other component is the lithium. And until we have a better understanding of what the site control is, the elevation impacts on the lithium, we are possibly, you know, looking at the new Saudi Arabia and Houston combined on the southwest side of the sea or east side of the sea. I think those discussions and conversations need to take place. Those are just my comments, and I'll be quiet after that. Thank you.
No, appreciate the input, and you won't have to abstain till next month when the proposed final comes our way. Okay. I've got two more hands. I just, before we continue this discussion, because it sounds like a passionate one, again, we're doing goals and objectives, and clearly the goal that is there is strongly support. So obviously we're having discussions on how, and I just want to make sure somehow we work in under the energy component some effort that we're already doing, and we'll be pulling together another meeting with stakeholders. The concern for providing energy to our areas with the IID and CVWD agreement that will be expiring, and what those alternatives for power for our residents in Riverside County. Let's craft some type of statement that works on collaborative solutions to ensure continued power for our residents. And with that, looks like, let me go back to Russell, unless Manny, you want to pop in on this?
Just very quickly to follow up on the President, Mr. Cardenas from the Salton Sea Authority, and thank you, Madam Chair, as well, for that great point you just made. Obviously, we've had some struggles out in the East End, and not only in the East End now, it's actually even went up to Indio and parts of La Quinta,
yeah,
with the last windstorm that we had. And those discussions are taking place, which is great. And that collaboration, that communication is even getting stronger. So that's a good thing. And I agree that we need to have a bullet point for that. You're talking about AB 1079, the New River Improvement Project. And most definitely, we made that work and things are getting done, but we still have a long ways to go. I'm not opposed to talking about water importation from the Sea of Cortez or from the Pacific Ocean or from wherever. What I do think we need to do, though, is support this analysis, even though it's another analysis. I get it. I hear you. But that's where the state of California is going. There's reality and there's ideals. And we can go ahead and talk about all the ideas we have. But that's not a reality in the state of California. And so, look, I would suggest that we support that analysis. If you don't have to do that today, let's take a look at it, and maybe we can do some research on that. But I'll tell you, with my conversations with our friends down south in Mexicali, and even in Distrito Federal, in Mexico City, with the president and other folks, the SONC is not even on the radar. It's not even a conversation. They don't even know what the SONC is. So I don't know who here has been having those conversations. Please help me understand that, because those conversations are not taking place, folks. Could they take place? Yeah. Should we say something like, let's talk about water importation potentially from the Sierra Cortez, potentially maybe from somewhere else or from the Pacific Ocean? Yes, I'm all for that. That's why I'm talking about the point that this study is really important, even though it's another study. I get it. But the diputados, the mayor, the governor of Mexicali, that area, Baja California, Norte, it's not even on the radar.
So I
just want to put that out there. Right. So okay. I support water importation. I don't know from where. We have to think that through.
Carry the buckets. All right. Katie's got to work it out for you. Russ.
Yeah, quickly, just on the subject of the New River, I don't think anybody's talking about opening up the Sea of Cortez and flushing the New River down into the Salton Sea. And I think efforts to clean up that New River are certainly, you know, again, what are we waiting for? And I understand the process is long to get the funding, although Washington seems to be doling out the dollars pretty quick. We should be able to grab some for that urgent need. But the designs from the engineers I talked to is they're not even talking about drawing surface water from the Sea of Cortez. They're talking about piping it all the way, going down under the sea and grabbing water from there. And it would be, you know, but that's the whole point of the engineering study, is to get that started and work that out. Not the study, but the engineering design. And these engineers, they got the money, they're gonna work it out, they're gonna come back with a plan that they think works, and it goes through the same normal bid process that we always do. And then on the negotiations with Mexico, you know, that conversation came up 3 years ago when this thing was done at a study session at Rancho Mirage City Council. And the same question was, you know, well, Trump was president, so they won't talk to us. And I don't know how that plays, but 3 years ago, the conversation still hasn't been initiated. We're just not getting anything done on this thing, and it's drying up. It's an environmental disaster. It's going to be bad, and that smell wafts through all of Southern California and on into the Inland Empire. We're going to hear about it, and we're going to ask why we haven't done anything on this. And I'm sorry, I don't want to belabor the point. It's not rocket science, but back to the chair's point, I think all we're really talking about is, rather than solutions, is just including in our goals that we will support what 9 cities and the Torres Martinez tribe and College of the Desert have said they want to see. I mean, every city that's represented by CVAG has said they want to do this exact thing that's been suggested here by Chuck Parker's group and that I support wholeheartedly. So I hope we can, when we finally come around, we have that language and that we go for that. But our main point was to say that nobody is talking about flushing the New River into the Salton Sea. I haven't ever heard that one come up once. And I'm certainly aware of how polluted the New River is and all the, you know, thanks for all the extra information there. But I don't want to go to an absurd point to try and defeat, you know, what's a solid proposal to do an engineering study that we do every day on projects throughout our cities all the time. That's
thank
it.
You.
I'm done. Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you. Mute him. Just kidding. Oscar, go ahead.
I had a question about the UC Santa Cruz study. Is it going to, are they just looking at financially, is it going to work out? Or are they looking at, also, are they looking at both seas? And are they looking at politically, is it feasible? Or how is that going to work?
I just got the email.
Anybody? I have not had time to read it. I'm trying to manage this. That discussion group.
I was going to say, in terms of that question, we could maybe bring that back as a point of information at the next meeting, get a response. I think from what I understood, it's just getting started, the contract.
That's correct.
Okay. I have a question. Anything else, Oscar?
The only other question I had is because I've heard two different things, and this is just a historic statement on the Salton Sea. So I know this area used to be a sea, right? And then some people say, well, it was accidentally created when the dam broke, but was it the dam initially what dried it out in the first place? I know some of it dried out naturally, but was it really an accident if it was there and then we built the dam and then the dam broke, you know? So that's just a historical thing that I had in the back of my mind.
Okay. Question, if we can move off the Salton Sea for a moment back to solid waste and Debbie's presentation, which is items number 5, 6, 7. And it talks about developing outreach regarding SB 1383 and exploring opportunities for different jurisdictions to promote and encourage waste reduction recycling. Do we want to charge Katie with putting some more meat into this, so to speak, that is more of a collaborative versus outreach, that clearly if FIND is out there with BIRDTECH, that somehow we're actively involved in that effort. And if we have to encourage within our jurisdictions, entities like hotels, hospitals, catering, et cetera, as that progresses, is that relevant to us making a more, a stronger effort than really outreach? And I don't know how that would look or sound, but would you support that, or if you feel that the statements as listed are fine?
Madam Chair, I apologize. I'm gonna have to drop off the call. I do have another Zoom, but I do appreciate all the discussion and all the color on this conversation. And I'll load my guns and come back. Thank you, Supervisor Perez. Thank you, group.
See ya. Thanks, see ya. Alex. All right, Nancy?
Yes, Chairwoman, I definitely would support that kind of verbiage. It's important that we don't just pick off the easy stuff, you know.
Right.
Recycling and collection means trying hard to get as much as we can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
So if I might, Madam Chair, we could modify that to expand beyond outreach and really just describe a collaborative effort to incorporate BIRDTECH, FIND, and as you mentioned, some of the hospitality folks. And I think the recycling roundtable, which is the staff members are, as I say, anxious to move forward, and they did hear Debbie Espinoza made a presentation to them as well. So we can have them coordinate that. Right. So that makes
very
sense.
Good. Very good. Okay.
Great.
Any other questions or comments on the input for goals? Healthy discussion. It's always good.
Great discussion. And I just following up on our president from Salton Sea Authority's point, I think it'd be a great idea to bring in Patrick O'Dowd, who's the ED of the Salton Sea Authority that can be helpful with this moving forward. And then Brian Estandi, who works for the county, but also has been working on the Salton Sea for many, many, many years. And I think he can give some good perspective on this. And ultimately, you know, I'm not against the importation. I think that's a great concept, I guess. I just don't know from where, right?
Yeah, so
let's have that conversation with our friends in Sacramento and, quite frankly, our friends on the other side of the border.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Russ, on that front. That conversation has not been had, you know, other than me kind of just talking to folks out there when I'm out there. And maybe we just need to set something up, like some sort of meeting where we actually have this discussion.
Madam Chair, if I could, if we're going to bring in other consultants or people on the subject, maybe we end up with a Salton Sea meeting. But there's engineers that have given detailed presentations, qualified civil engineers that can come in and talk about, you know, how easy it is to build pipelines. And,
well, let's do this. Let's get through our goals and objectives and select some phrased wording that will be created by our dutiful staff and present that next month. And if we have to look at, as things progress, some study session discussions or presentations, happy to do that because everybody learns from that piece. Katie, did you want to do a quick wrap up on this topic before we move on?
I did want to mention Tori Brewster, our Civic Spark Fellow, has been working on an item that was identified by the committee last year, which is urban greening and looking at the potential for more trees and a tree initiative. And I think we're grateful and fortunate that the city of Coachella has a very aggressive and exciting project that's now being implemented for an urban greening program. So Tori's just going to kind of update you briefly on the efforts that she's making with regard to that project. So Tori.
Hi. So great to speak with you all again. I have been working on several projects, one being the Thousand Tree Initiative. We're working on a guidebook that will serve as a resource for cities within this region to develop a Thousand Tree Initiative of their own. And we're interviewing local landscape architects, landscape consultants, arborists, and horticulturists in the region to get a better understanding of the limitations to urban greening, as well as how can we make this project as sustainable as possible given the issues involved. We are finding that maintenance issues and warmer summers have been a huge limitation to long-term sustainability of urban greening. That being said, I'm putting together a tree palette with that in mind, wherein the trees in this palette are more resilient to these factors. I've been using iTree to learn about urban greening project tools available. So in this case, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. The guidebook will demonstrate how to use these tools and resources available to implement the program. I've also been working on a climate action related project wherein I am putting together climate action and resilience planning recommendations for the region. I am also designing a system to track your city's climate action plan progress. Our goal is to highlight your city's climate resilience related projects. So that being said, we also want to speak with members of the committee about your goals and the city's climate action plan progress. So if members of the committee are available, we would really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you. And thank you for allowing me to speak today.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Tori, for the update. Okay, I think we will.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I was just going to say, I've got, as you said, copious notes, and I will probably reach out to some of you to address, and I think the suggestion of speaking with Mr. O'Dowd and Brian Mustandy would be helpful on the Salton Sea issue. And maybe it's time for a presentation from the Salton Sea Authority. And so anyway, I think we're good to go on bringing this back in May.
Very good. Thank you.
Can you include Tori's email too, please?
Yes, I will do that. Yeah. In fact, what we'd like to do is reach out to you individually, and Tori would like to set up time where she could kind of talk to you about some of the things. We are really looking at, you know, we talk about hotter summers and less water and some of the kinds of things that we want to see about the region as far as planning for changes that we're seeing with regard to the climate. So Tori's great at doing research and pulling together a lot of the resources that are already out there, and that's kind of where we're targeting. So I'll definitely do that, Councilmember Ross. Thank you. Okay, that's all I have.
Okay, all right. Just for reference, under section number 7, the information section, there is a nice update with a colorful pie chart on our PACE program and cities that have done a good job for their residents in providing those opportunities. And I'd want to see with Tricia if she's still there, if we've got any public comments on non-agenda items in the wings.
We did not receive any by email, and I do not see any hands raised.
Very good. Okay, folks, our next meeting will be on May 13th at noon. And thank you for supporting the letter to go forward. And thank you for the healthy discussion on this. This is always, you know, years ago, it was about trying to design and things that are measurable and metrics. And when you talk about water, you're right. Our region has already done a great job of conservation. And to think that we have to go beyond that threshold, yeah, we've got other issues, and we're managing the water piece and probably have some opportunities, but this is the good stuff that gets us moving forward. So with that, I apologize for going over, but I feel it was relevant and obviously a lot of good input from many of you. And we will go ahead and adjourn the meeting at 1:23. Thank you all. Be well. Take care.
Bye all.
Bye.